Well, thank you again. It's really a great privilege to be back here in what I consider to be my home church, and to see all the people's hairs getting grayer and whiter, the stomachs getting bigger and fatter, but I'm sure your minds are as sharp as ever, and we trust that your spirits are soaring high in the heavenly places. I want to... I'm just waiting for the slide to come up on the screen. I always think it's good, you don't have to look at my face, but look at something else. It's more interesting and may help you to focus better on the what we're saying. I should say one difference between Zambia and UK is that your technology is not so advanced as we're used to in Zambia. So that's why we're having problems. Okay? Yeah, good. The other thing I need to say about the difference between Zambia and the UK is that we're used to having minimum length for our sermons of 40 minutes, and usually about an hour, and sometimes longer than an hour. So I'll try to keep it down to 20 minutes, which is what I've been told today. As I mentioned earlier on, I'm involved in financial administration. My working experience before going out to Zambia and while I've been in Zambia is largely to do with handling money. And this picture shows some of my helpers in Zambia counting the Zambian kwacha ready to go into the bank. We do spend a lot of time in different banks in Zambia. We have many of them, and my job involves a lot of going into the banks. And we rely upon the banks to keep our money safe, as I'm sure most of you do. It's usually a safe place to keep your money, and it's convenient because people can put money in your account, you can take money out, and all sorts of ways, isn't there, using the cards as well as writing checks. I think it's fairly obsolete in the UK now, but we still use checks quite a bit, although there's a limit on how much you can use them for. But recently, the school bank account got frozen by our bank. This was a very unfortunate situation, entirely due to the bank, according to my view. They asked us to do certain things by a certain date, which we did 2 weeks in advance, but they still closed our account on the threatened date anyway. Well, not closed it, they froze it. So it meant that people coming to pay money for their school fees, they failed to be able to say, no, we can't put the money in the account, this account is frozen. And it was very awkward for us. When we wanted to pay money to people, we couldn't pay money to people. And it took me 2 weeks before I managed to get them to open the account again. So that led us to think, well, this bank isn't really very good, not very reliable. We felt like we were using the wrong bank. So the question I have for you today is, which bank are you saving with? Where are you depositing your money? Where are you depositing your savings? Let's read together from the Gospel of Matthew, some words which Jesus spoke here. Maybe we can all read them together. And there's three pages of verses from the Bible, all the words of Jesus. So let's read that together. Do not lay up yourselves treasure in earth. The eye is the lamp of the body.
If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
So this really is about depositing money in the bank of heaven, storing up treasure in heaven, laying up treasure in heaven. So I just want to ask three simple questions. What is it? Why do it? And how do I do it? So I hope that will help us to understand that we should all be saving in the bank of heaven. So firstly, what is it? Well, before I ask what is it, let's say what it is not. Firstly, it's not earning our admission into heaven. We cannot buy our salvation. We cannot save up money and pay things into heaven so that God will save us. Some people have the idea that if you do a lot of good things, then those good things are somehow going into heaven, and that's putting you on the right side of God. And if there's enough of those, perhaps if those are more than the bad things, then God will automatically allow you to go into heaven when you die. But that's not what it means here at all. We can't earn our admission into heaven. God saves us freely by his grace. It's not something which we can earn. And then neither is it paying for other people's salvation. Some people feel that they can pay money for others to be saved. This used to be a view quite common quite a few hundred years ago, about 500 years ago when the Reformation started. Martin Luther was very much aware this was a non-scriptural idea. We can't pay for other people's salvation. It's not like we can do things to help other people to be saved. That's not what it means to be saving in the bank of heaven. So what does it mean? Well, I put it like this in a very simple language. It's really making heavenly things a higher priority than earthly things. When we say that the things of heaven or the things of God are more important to us than the things of this earth, and when we live according to that, then that really is us depositing money in the bank of heaven. That's a simple definition of what it means. So that's what it is. But now, why should we do it? Well, the verses which we read give us quite a few clues as to why we should save in the bank of heaven. Firstly, there's a negative reason. Because saving up on this earth is very insecure. Well, all sorts of reasons why earthly treasure is insecure. Can you see them on the picture, boys and girls? What's the first one? It's a moth eaten. Yes, Jesus says there's moth here. What's the second one? Rusty old coin we might find somewhere. And the third one? Burglars breaking in. And the last one, some versions of the Bible use this word rather than rust. It's rats eating the corn or eating the maize, isn't it? It's vermin. Can it get into places where you think they shouldn't get in, and they eat up all your food? Can be a problem in Zambia especially. And the last one, which is a big picture at the top, when your savings crash. I remember there was a time when I was working in a previous school in a rural part of Zambia. It was the beginning of term, and we'd taken a lot of the fees from the students by cash. We put it all in the safe. I went home one night, and then I got a phone call in the middle of the night from the head teacher telling me that somebody has broken into our safe. And sure enough, the next morning I came there, and I found that the burglar bars have been broken off, all the doors leading to the strong room. They have put some explosives on the outside of the safe, and it had blown off the door of the safe, and it even hit the far wall and damaged the far wall. And There was quite a lot of money in there, probably about the equivalent of £3,000 or £4,000. And they had stolen most of it. There was some which was inside some metal boxes which got twisted and damaged. They didn't manage to take that. And a lot of the money even got burnt in the explosion. So that money we thought was in a safe place, but it wasn't. That's what burglars can do. In our neighboring country, Zimbabwe, the Zimbabwean dollar it became worthless. Somebody once gave me a Zimbabwean dollar, I think about 10 million Zimbabwean dollars. It was a piece of paper, it was worth about one penny because the currency crashed those years ago. So we don't know here on earth how our savings will remain. They can easily lose their value, or we can, all these things can just evaporate. So it's not secure to have money in earthly things. We shouldn't treasure those things. We shouldn't place importance on those things. Even if we treasure some of the earthly intangible things like relationships or great experiences which we think will give us a good memory, they are not permanent either. So that's one reason why it's more important to bank in the bank of heaven. Because treasure in the bank of heaven keeps its value. It's permanent. It goes on forever. Never finishes. Now, many people say that they trust in God, but in reality, they are trusting in their money. That's why at the end of this passage, Jesus gives a stark reminder. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. So let's look about the final question, which is the most important question. How do I save in the bank of heaven? Well, I think, simply put, it's living as if pleasing Christ is more important than anything else. Jesus said, didn't he, in this very passage, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So your heart shows the things which you hold most dear, the things which you have great affection for, the things which you hope for, the things which you dream about. If your dreams, your hopes, your affections are centered on Christ, then your heart will be there. Then your treasure will be there. Then you will be treasuring things and putting up savings in the bank of heaven. There's a verse in Colossians 3, verse 1, where Paul says something similar. He says that you Christians, set your thoughts, set your minds, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. That's heavenly places, not on earthly things. So if all our time we're thinking about the earthly things down here, thinking about the clothes we wear, the food we eat, we're just thinking about all the issues around us. We don't spend time thinking about Christ, God's kingdom, and the eternal values. Then we're not really living as if pleasing Christ was more important than anything else. So we need to ask ourselves, when our thoughts wander, where do they wander to? Do they wander to Christ? When we get excited, do we get excited about Christ? When we think about our future, do we get excited about the fact that we're spending our future eternity with Christ? What or who shapes our priorities? These are all questions which can help us to understand whether or not we are really saving in the bank of heaven or not. Then, secondly, we can learn about being generous with our earthly treasures. Those verses in verse 22 and 23, Jesus talked about your eye being healthy or being unhealthy. Now, the word healthy and unhealthy, I understand, has at its root meaning, if your eye is generous, then your whole body will be full of light. Or if your eye is stingy, then your whole body will be full of darkness. So it's all to do with generosity. If we're the kind of people who are generous with what we have, rather than holding on to things and grasping them and being stingy without not wanting to share with other people, then we are not really being people who are laying up treasure in heaven. There's a parallel verse in Luke chapter 12, a passage in Luke chapter 12, verses 33 to 34, where Jesus says there, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So in these verses, Jesus seems to clearly link being generous, even to the extent of selling what you have and giving to the poor, linking that with putting treasure in heaven. So generosity should be the hallmark of a Christian, because Jesus, God, was generous to us. So we follow his example, and we are people who are supposed to be generous with what we have. Paul says a similar thing in 1 Timothy. He says, "Command the rich to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." Now, in some senses, if we are the kind of people who just hang on to what we've got, and we think, the more I have, the better life is, we don't really live. But when we're the kind of people who are open-handed and give to others, who are generous to others, we see those in need and we respond sympathetically, then we are the people who are really living life the way Jesus wants us to live it. And Paul says here, we're laying up a firm foundation for the coming age. I think that's another way of saying there, we are laying up treasure in heaven. We are banking in the bank of heaven. So the second thing about being generous with our earthly treasure, we can see some examples of people Jesus met where somebody who did do this and somebody who didn't. Do you remember the story of the rich man who was a young man, who was a ruler? Well, we shouldn't be like him. If he was in today's society, he may have issued this tweet, coming to see Jesus, full of himself, wanting to impress, and wanting Jesus to give him a pat on the back and say, "Yes, you keep on doing what you're doing and you'll be fine." But Jesus didn't say that, because Jesus could see that he wasn't somebody who put God first. Instead, his possessions and his riches were first. And Jesus told him, "You sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then you come and follow me." And the Bible says that he went away sad because he was very rich. He didn't want to give up any of those things. He didn't want to be generous. He just wanted to have all he had and still know that God was going to bless him. But Jesus made it quite clear he had to choose between his possessions or between him, Jesus himself. Jesus didn't go back to him and say, "Oh no, I'm being too tough on you, I'll make it easier." He let him go, sad, because he knew that he wasn't going to get the best life. But he went away. But by contrast, another man in the Bible, who was also a rich man, did something quite different. This was Zacchaeus. Remember this short man who climbed up into a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, and Jesus saw him, invited him down to his house, and then at the time when they were eating together with all his friends, Zacchaeus announced that he was going to repay anything which he'd stolen from people. He was going to give to the poor half of his possessions, and here he is doing just that, distributing his wealth to the poor. And Jesus then said, "Today salvation has come to this house." So Zacchaeus understood that when you are a follower of Jesus, that you're generous with what you have. He knew what it was. He was no longer storing up money in his house, keeping it for himself. He was sharing it with others. He was saving in the bank of heaven. So as we come to the end of our talk this morning, I wanted just to ask some questions of ourselves, just to challenge us, but are we really saving in the bank of heaven? The first question is, do I make heavenly things a higher priority than earthly things? It's so easy for us to be so caught up with things on earth, isn't it? They're all we can see. They often can be all we are occupied with. But Jesus calls us to a higher way, a better way, to make heavenly things our first priority. And then he says, in the passage which we read in Matthew chapter 6, it goes on to say we needn't worry about all the other things, because our Heavenly Father knows that we need them. But if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to us. It's not that these things are not important. They are important, but it's a question of priorities. What is our priority? Are heavenly things our priority more than earthly things? And secondly, am I living as if pleasing Christ is more important than anything else? Of course, every Christian will say, yes, living for Christ is the most important thing. But often what we say is different from what we do. Our actions really tell us what our heart is feeling in most cases. That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. In other words, where are you putting all your time? Where are you putting all your resources? Where are you putting all your energy? If you find it's not in the things of God, then your heart is not in the things of God. And then the last question is, am I generous with my earthly treasures? So I hope this will just give us a little chance to reflect on our lives, and to, next time you go to the bank and deposit some money, ask yourself, am I depositing money in the bank of heaven? Because that's the most important place to deposit anything of value in this life. And then I will experience the real life which Jesus longs to give us. As he says, if our eye is generous, if our eye is healthy, we'll be full of light, we will certainly be living a life which is worth living. May God bless you all. Thank you very much.